Support for WGLT's Grow comes from FS Custom Turf by Evergreen FS. FS Custom Turf offers complete lawn and tree care services to preserve the health of yards, trees, and shrubs. Products and services detailed at evergreen-fs.com.
Some people in the business think there's a tree shortage. Others, like our expert Patrick Murphy, say not so quick. This is WGLT's gardening podcast, Grow. I'm Mike McCurdy with Patrick Murphy from Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. Patrick, thanks for stopping by.
We meet again.
The price of everything goes up. Same with trees. Does the price of a tree reflect supply and demand? What can we gather from pricing?
Well, in my opinion, I find this very interesting, partly because the value of trees in our world has fluctuated greatly. The price has fluctuated, the customer's expectations, and just the intrinsic or general change has been the greatest in my industry, and that's landscaping, the greenest of all industries. And I think it's interesting because it's had a lot to do with the pricing on trees. And you mix in the economics of the whole thing, there's also something to be said for government policy and an educated consumer. So if we look at the time period of 2004 to 2007 in the Midwest, it was a period of great economic growth and competition. Lots of homes, lots of commercial construction taking place, and all of that needed landscaped. At that time, a 2-inch shade tree, the grade A shade tree, so no imperfections, it possesses all the glory of its grown genus and species, its price was $289. In 2007, the same tree was $350. So that's kind of a normal progression in price. Before that, the prices were below $200 on any of them, so there was a significant jump made, and I think that was driven by all the construction. So the construction takes place.
So demand drove up the price.
Demand drove up the price. The construction takes place, and all of the 2 to 2.5-inch trees, they disappeared from the nurseries first because it takes less to ship them. Less muscle, less gas. That left the larger size trees, the 3 to 4.5-inch trees. These are trees that are really too big to be planted by hand. They need a piece of equipment. They started to rise up over $700 per tree. And to this day, the prices are holding real close to that threshold. So they were highly escalated or even ballooned back in the end of the building boom.
So the increase in price isn't a result of a shortage of trees. It's a result of demand.
The demand for landscaping on all of the new properties that were being built. That was the main leader to the price increases because everybody was buying trees as fast as the nurseries could produce them.
Well, let's talk about the state of the economy. Is that a factor that played a role in giving the perception of a tree shortage?
I think so, because that period that we're talking about, 04 to 07, was accompanied by the big construction booms, and it included the new requirements to develop sustainable landscapes. The new requirements came along with the state and federal regulations, and it reflected everything from single-family housing to residential development and certainly commercial stuff. And it would put in place policies that would require certain square footage of turf per acre, for example, certain number of shade trees per square foot for open lawns and parking areas. Then
that's not a bad thing.
That's
though,
not
right?
a bad thing. No, not at all. It's not a bad thing. Then the scrutiny for these trees that we plant increased because of the expectations of the customer. They grew. So they're going to pay more money. They're going to pay a little closer attention to what they're going to get. And there has been a lot less disposable, do-for-now tree planting in, say, the last 15 years.
What's a disposable tree or a disposable do-for-now kind of tree? Would that be a Bradford pear?
Well, I could say any tree could fit into that scenario.
It depends on where you plant it.
That's right. It's a tree planted with only good intentions and no understanding of the tree's potential, site requirements. We've said right tree, right place so many times. It's definitely related to that.
Some big nurseries went out of business as well. What role did that play?
Some of the nurseries that went out of business were high-volume nurseries that just could not continue to stay in business because of usually water-related issues to irrigate the fields. So when those family nurseries closed down, that was an opportunity for the even bigger nurseries that have picked up the slack, if you will. And I've referenced Frank J. Schmidt out in Oregon and the Mariani Enterprises in Northern Illinois and Wisconsin, because they supply most of the trees that we see in any garden center, any place. The tree probably started at one of these two locations if you live here in the Midwest.
And it takes a while to gear up production for another nursery to sort of fill that void.
That's exactly the case. You got a 5 to 10 year waiting period, 5 to 5 years for the smallest whip that's in a pot, 10 years for something that's got its own roots and it's developed into some recognizable character of the tree it's representing.
I have to say, it still sounds like we're talking about a tree shortage, not a perceived tree shortage.
Well, I think that the shortage would be true if you couldn't find the trees, but you can. A lot of times you just have to either buy the trees in advance that haven't been grown. That's another unintended outcome for this deal.
Tree futures?
Tree brokers. Yeah, that's right. They're plant brokers and tree brokers, and they'll sell a whole field before the tree is even grown. So they're going to sell that tree to developers. They're going to sell it to somebody that's going to put it right back in the ground and grow bigger trees with it, because that's how a lot of nurseries get their starts. They're buying their seedlings from someone else.
And increased federal and state regulation, you touched on that. How did that play a role?
I think the covenants and the regulations that went along with greening up these spaces increased the demand. And at the same time, as people had to spend more money to develop their properties and be in compliance with the various codes and things in the villages and cities we live in, it wasn't enough just to get some trees anymore. Now they have to be a certain kind of tree. They have a tree that drops no nuts if it's near a sidewalk or parking lot.
Or fruit.
That's right. Or just lots of debris in general. These covenants and stuff started out at the residential condominium level, and they kind of grew into the Del Webb communities, if you will. They cut out all these big neighborhoods for multiple units, and the communities where these developments occur, they have a hand in saying what should be planted there, and I can support that.
So municipal planning codes, they played a factor. What about environmental awareness, responding to environmental disasters? Did that put a strain on the tree industry?
I think it did in a couple ways, Mike. I think in the reforestation, a lot of areas were reforested, and again, that was done with the best of intentions. It was done by private landowners as well as municipalities. But in a lot of cases, these areas would have been better saved for restoration of prairie and grasslands, which include fewer and certain kinds of trees. Not that there will be no trees planted in those cases, but you also have large tracts of land that were replanted with trees that were really never intended for that. And that's a best of intention error, if you will. As far as disaster mitigation, we've had everything from hurricanes, the droughts seem to be common. We've also had some insect problems with the emerald ash borer and the Asian longhorn beetle. All of these lead to replanting scenarios, either tree for a tree or the whole community loses all of its trees. That'll burn up a field full of trees that have been harvested for sale real fast.
So are those planting trees changing their practices in order to leave more trees in the marketplace, or is that a result as they do a better job of planting trees, you know, the right tree in the right place?
To me, it sounds like the various customers of tree and landscaping plants have become more informed about the money that they must invest to basically garden or landscape their properties, which is now a requirement in some cases. At the same time, those disposable trees we talked about, they're becoming less common, they're decreasing.
So there's pressure on the industry, but there's not a shortage. And if you want to find a particular tree, you can still find that tree.
You can still find it. The only shortage that one could find that has economic data is the shortage of conifers that we call Christmas trees.
If you have questions about trees or anything else in the garden or landscape, send them in, and Patrick Murphy with ISU's School of Biological Sciences will answer them. I'm Mike McCurdy. Send your questions to wglt.org/grow.